Hey there, welcome to the LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Matt Dumont, an LSAT teacher and tutor at the LSAT Demon, and now a rising 3L at the University of Maryland. With me is Michael Gaskell, who is a rising 2L and dual degree MBA at Maryland Law and Johns Hopkins, who has already done three judicial internships during his law school career. How are you doing, Michael?
Matt, how's it going? Good to be with you.
I'm good. You answered my question with a question. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. How's your, it's just about to start your summer, right? What'd you just finish up? What are you about to do?
Yeah, I am just a couple days into my summer vacation. So I just finished my year at the Johns Hopkins Carey Business School. And during that year, I did a lot. I interned in the fall for a judge. I interned in the spring for a judge. I worked with my judge from the fall. She and I published an article together that's going to appear in the Norton Annual Survey of Bankruptcy Law. So I'm excited about that. I did a moot court competition, a bankruptcy moot court competition, which was a lot of fun. So it was a very busy year. All that is to say, I am glad that I have a few days off.
I feel that. I feel that hard. I'm just about 2 weeks into my judicial internship for the summer, and it's like, whew, I'm ready for a vacation already, which is
But you and I are similar in the fact that we like what we do, and so I think we're very fortunate to like to, when you enjoy what you do, it's not really work.
Yeah.
I feel that.
Well, speaking about judicial internships and judicial clerkships and that kind of stuff, we got a great listener email here from E. And it said, it'd be great to have Matt and others talk about the process by which they gained judicial internships and clerkships on the LSAT Demon Daily podcast. And then she has some specific questions. The questions are, what should a pre-law, a 1L, a 2L, 3L, et cetera, be doing to gain a clerkship? What are the main contributing factors to securing a clerkship and doing well at it? What kinds of clerkships can one expect and or shoot for at a lower tiered school? And are there classes or clubs or associations to join to be better positioned for a clerkship? So I want to sort of start off with, you know, what kind of broad strokes things do you think apply to judicial internships, clerkships, that kind of thing?
Yeah. So you and I are probably a little bit unique in the fact that we're both older students.
Yeah.
You know, you're certainly older than I am, but I think if I can just share my perspective, I have a legal mentor who really, as I was going into law school, helped me plan out what I was going to do with my summers. And he was very adamant. He says, the first summer, you're going to work for a judge. I said, okay. And so I had no game plan other than go to my school's career development office and say, where is the list of judges? How do I do this? And start applying. And so I think that's really good because you don't need an elaborate game plan necessarily to be successful. So, you know, you find out which judges are hiring. And I think every law school career office should have a list handy. And so I really just went into this process not knowing a lot. And I just started applying for judges for judicial internships. Fun fact about my application for judicial internships, all of the cover letters that I sent to judges, all of them had a glaring grammatical error in the very first sentence.
And yet they overlooked that.
That should be reassuring to a lot of people that, you know, even if I can get a judicial internship, you know, you're in good shape. So I think what allowed me, and the reason I bring up our age, I think what allowed me to secure four offers for judicial internships in one L spring semester was I had good grades.
Yep.
So I think that's really important. So what can a law student do? Work really hard and get good grades.
Yep.
Secondly, I have an interesting resume. And so there, I want to be very clear that there's nothing wrong with being young, coming right from college and coming right into law school. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And I wish for a lot of reasons that that had been my path, but it wasn't. And so I think that my resume just was interesting enough to stand out. And so I think the interesting resume and good grades got me the interviews.
Yeah.
And then once I got into the interviews, I don't do many things well, but I do interview well.
And so you have any tips for that?
Practice. Take as many, you know, if there are like in your career development office, if there's an alumni who will do a mock interview with you, if you want to even do it with your classmates, you know, get you practice with classmates and throw curveball questions at each other. The skill in interviewing is the ability to just think on your feet.
Right.
And that's a really, really important skill. And then more than that, I think what helped me succeed in my interviews with these judges was giving thoughtful answers to questions. And how do you give thoughtful answers? Well, you have to be a thoughtful person, and you have to reflect on why you're doing what you're doing.
Right.
And so I think the best conversational answers I had with judges were to those why questions. You know, why did you go to law school?
Right.
And I have a really interesting why answer. And if you know, there's a listener who is in law school because her parents, you know, really wanted her to do that, there's nothing wrong with that. But I would encourage that person to start to think of the different layers that are behind that. And so when you get a why question, you can really reflect on it. And I think that shows a mature level of thinking that judges are looking for.
Yeah, I want to double down on a couple of things that you articulated. And I think good grades is essential. Like, you have to show that you have the work ethic that that being in a chambers requires.
Yeah.
And that is very clearly demonstrated by having good grades, you know, being at the top of your class. I'm not saying that you have to be in the top five people or whatever, but most of the judicial internships and clerkship requirements I've seen is at least the top third. Some of them are higher than that, but that shows sort of like the work ethic that goes into it. The other thing that you kind of pointed out is they want to have interesting people to work with, right?
Yeah.
They want to have someone that they enjoy working with. You're going to be working very closely, even as a judicial intern in some instances not, but as a clerk, especially, like there might only be one of you for the judge. It might be you, the judge, and a judicial assistant. It might be you, the judge, and two clerks. But like, even if you're at the Supreme Court, there's only like four or five of them per chambers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's a very small group of people working on really heady, complex things. And so it's really helpful to enjoy the person that you work alongside of. And
yeah,
so I think you illustrate that with saying like, hey, I'm a good interviewer. Like that's, you're showing that you're a good person. And I think that that's really important.
I think you're exactly right. And it's not just will the judge want to work with me? Because I think that's something that judges consider. Do I actually want to spend the summer with this guy?
Yeah.
But if you're talking about a clerkship, and perhaps maybe we should distinguish
what judicial internship and clerkship is.
Yeah. And so go ahead, please.
Yeah. So a judicial internship is something that you do during school while you're still a law student. You might work a semester or a summer, you know, typically, you know, 12, 13, 14 weeks in a chambers, and you're typically underneath the clerks there. The clerks are sort of guiding your day-to-day things. You might have interaction with the judge directly or not, but you're being supervised by the clerks. Clerks are people that are hired for an entire year. Sometimes it becomes a career. There are certainly people that are like, hey, I'm going to clerk for life. Typically it's the year after or 2 years after you graduate with your JD. And people do that like while they're waiting for the results of their bar exam, for one, because it's a legal job that you can do while you're not yet a barred attorney. But it's also a really great research and writing training for the rest of your career, because you're writing things that have to stand up to the judge's scrutiny, and then also the wider court and all of the potential legal industry, legal community in your state or the country. And so the clerkship is can be very prestigious. It can be, it's a lot of work, but it can be very prestigious.
I think so. What both of those positions have in common. So as a judicial intern, I've written a ton of bench memos.
Yeah.
And a bench memo is basically getting a judge ready to hear a case.
Right.
But as a clerk, the judge is going to assign the writing of the opinion to the clerk.
Right.
And so I think what judges are looking for, and so if you want to land one of these spots, you should think about this. I think what a judge is looking for is, can I give an assignment to a person and take my hands off, come back in a week, and it's going to be done?
Yep.
Judges are very, very busy people. And so it's really important that you establish that you are going to be able to work without needing a lot of direction. Yeah. I remember my very first bench memo, I had no idea what to do.
And how did you figure out what to do?
So it's really, that's a great question that you ask. my judge, the chief judge at the time, he says, give me this memo by, you know, next Friday. And he hands me 600 pages worth of record extract and appellate brief and appellee brief. And I'm like, you know, where do you start? But that's when my law school training kicked in. And so I had to figure out what the issue was. You know, when 1L teachers talk about IRAC, it's really not, they're not doing it to be annoying, even though they managed to be annoying in the process. But I had to figure out, what is the issue? What's the relevant law? And what is the rule that comes out of that relevant law? Yep. How do I apply the facts to the law, or the law to the facts, and draw a conclusion? That's IRAC. And so, you know, you have to be able to think on your feet and take that 1L training that you get and immediately jump in and apply it.
Yeah.
And he wasn't, you know, this judge was not going to say, he was not going to spell that out for me.
Yeah, I think that's right. And the idea that you have to take your law studies seriously, learn those kind of things, and then apply it. And so the way that I learned how to do it was, I was given some example bench memos and I read them, not for pleasure, because it was my job at that moment. And then kind of took those as a blueprint and made my own. Okay, so let's just make sure that we covered these specific questions. So you mentioned having a mentor guiding you towards this, but then like 1L, 2Ls to be gaining clerkships. I just want to sort of stress that the clerkship process is mostly going to be during your 2L year, because you're applying for they start selecting clerks during the summer between, or even earlier. There's my friends, we have friends at Maryland that already have clerkships for after graduation, and we're rising 3L. I'm a rising 3L, and Michael was in my cohort. So you really have to be on the ball with that. You have to get involved with your CDO. You have to get like the list of judges, like Michael said, and get your writing samples together. Make sure that you have competent writing samples from your 1L summer. Make sure that you have letters of recommendation, like all those kind of boxes that you got to check for the clerkship process. You need to do that early in your 2L year, so that when you get to like Christmas time, you're ready to start submitting stuff, because the people are going to get interviewed and start getting jobs in the spring. 3L is too late.
Can I add two very quick things?
Yeah, of course.
If there's a listener who's saying, how do I get a good writing sample? Work really hard on your writing. If there's a listener who's asking, How do I get a professor recommendation? Get to know your professors.
Yeah. Go to office hours, do well in their class. Like,
go to every office hours, show interest in the subject. I don't know how important letters of recommendation are. I imagine that they're somewhat important. So the way you get those is the professor needs to know your name.
They're required for every clerkship that I've applied for is either to have recommenders or letters of rec specifically. Yeah. Main contributing factors we've already talked about, but I do want to point out that there are a lot of clerkships specifically, not necessarily judicial internships, but clerkships. A lot of them require journal. That's like with an asterisk, because I think if you can, for instance, if you've had a lot of experience judicial interning, you could also, like, that's a similar check mark next to your name that you're a competent reader, researcher, writer. But journal is a big one for a lot of, a lot of judges. And then, the kind of clerkships one can expect or shoot for from a lower tiered school. I mean, shoot for state stuff. Like, I think that's available wherever you go. Whether you're at the bottom school in the state or the top school in the state, there's state judges at the trial level, the appellate level, whatever. But there's no reason that you can't be at the top of your class and shoot for a federal clerkship as well. Shoot your shot.
Yeah. So I have a comment about that. I think, I've worked in Maryland state. I've worked in the state and federal systems. So In the state of Maryland, my first judicial internship, the two clerks were both from T14 schools.
Yep.
And they're working in a state court. My second state internship, both of the clerks were from the University of Baltimore, which is a...
Top 100?
I think probably top 150, maybe. Okay. I don't think it's in the top 100. And all that is to say is that I don't really think that ranking matters all that much. Yeah. So if I'm overstating that, then you can correct the record. But I think that you can distinguish yourself Now, listen, if you are going to a school outside of the top 25, you're never going to get on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
But there's no reason you can't get to the highest state court from a low-ranked school.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you can do good work and you can get a fine legal education at a low-ranked school.
And be the top of your class, for instance.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I want to reiterate and double down on that, that the Supreme Court is probably out of reach for most people, even in the top 14, super clear about that. And the journey to the Supreme Court typically requires a federal district judge clerkship and then a court of appeals clerkship and then Supreme Court. And so you have to jump through multiple hoops to even be eligible, even at the top. So there's definitely a journey there, unless you go to Yale, because Yale has an appellate clinic for the Supreme Court. They are the only school in the country that does that, though. I think, like Michael said, shoot your shot. You can still be applicable for federal clerkships. I know people from University of Maryland, and I think University of Maryland is a fine school, but we're certainly not in the top like echelon of national schools that have worked on the Court of Appeals as clerks. And so that's totally within your grasp. You just have to do good work.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Any sort of final comments, Michael?
It is a really great experience. I would encourage every law student to try to do this, because what happened for me is my first year of law. Your first year of law school is like a whirlwind, you know?
Yep.
And that summer that I spent with this judge, and he was all of these judges, they are just phenomenal thinkers and have really forced me to apply what I've learned. And so I think because of their instruction, I am such a better legal thinker and reasoner and writer after these internships. I really can't overstate the value that they have provided for me. So I would encourage anyone to give it a shot. And if I can, you know, I'm on LinkedIn. If I can be a help to anyone, people have helped me.
Yeah.
And so I would be willing to do, you know, anything I could within reason to try to help someone else. So,
that's Michael Gaskell on LinkedIn at the University of Maryland.
and Johns Hopkins Gary Business School.
And Johns Hopkins Gary Business School. Yeah, I'm going to wrap it up with, I think it is an incredible experience. It's going to make you a better writer. And you get to work on really cool stuff.
Yeah,
like constitutional issues, trial issues, issues of evidence. You really get to put the nuanced work in there. And if like that makes you excited, maybe law school is for you. Maybe working in chambers is for you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on this. This has been a lot of fun.
Awesome. Yeah. I want to say thanks not only to Michael for being here. I also want to say thanks to E for writing in with all those great questions. If you'd like to be on the show, email daily@lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.